Right. Simcha. Okay, we're going back. This is our third shiur on Simcha. So now we go. Simcha shel mitzvah, says Rav Volley. The joy of doing a mitzvah. He simcha ta'adam. It's the joy of a person, hamitkasher, who connects imboro ayadei ha-mitzvah, who connects with his creator through the mitzvah. Now, basically, that's what the mitzvahs are there for. A mitzvah, the lashon of the mitzvah is savta. Savta means to accompany, to join, to connect. That's the purpose of the mitzvahs. So therefore, every mitzvah should bring a person to simcha. That's what we say. Liyot besimcha, right? You know? Yeh besimcha tamed, et simcha shel mitzvah. And the Arizal, maybe he's going to bring this note, the Arizal said that he reached his level of, which is close to Nevuah, of his Gilui, of Gilui Eliyahu, which is some sort of level of Nevuah, right? Not for us, but through Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Simcha Shel Mitzvah is a very, very high level. Because what does that mean? I'll explain to you. When you connect with something, if I want to know what you're happy about, how do I know it? I'll just say one thing. Oh, you know, you being the first in shiur today, you get a free ice cream after this, right? Look at that joy. Right? Look at that. Right? That's going. Right? Even as a joke, it's going, right? That means, why does that bring you simcha? Because we want ice cream. We have a rotzen for ice cream. You're fleishig. Okay, so here's pyro. Maybe not a good separate. Not as good, right? I know. But you know, these, yeah, sorbet. We could go down that road, you know, with the crashed ice. And, stop it, right? So, like, if I told you guys that's what's going to happen after this year, we'd have a packed shiur, right? First guy in shiur gets that. Everyone's going to be the first guy here. All I'm saying is, simcha is a gilu of the rotzen. When I see a person who's sameach about something, I see his inner rotzen. Right? Now, simcha shel mitzvah means that if I have a joy about doing a mitzvah, that means my inner rotzen is wanting to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's very easy for us to have an inner rotzen about, wow, a nice piece of cake, or a great schnitzel, or a nice ice cream, or a smoothie. Look, that's easy, because our goof, you know, it's very normal for our goof. We don't have to do a lot of effort. We put that piece of whatever in our mouth, and, you know, we can have Pavlov's dog effect, and we start dribbling, right? That's very easy. But it's not so easy to dribble about a Yom Kippur davening, right? No one's like, oh great, Yom Kippur, can't wait for it. But when that actually you do it, and you're actually involved in it, and you actually work on it, right? The joy that you have through it is much, much greater. It's just that we're so much going against our, like, default natural self. Our default self is our goof. So it's much easier to feel a simple level of simcha in anything to do with our goof. To feel that level of simcha, something which is more spiritual, takes a much, much harder effort, takes work. It's not a priori natural to us. The more we work on ourselves in that realm, the more it becomes part of us. Like, I've seen people, you know, even in physically, right? I know some students who will not eat ice cream. Will not eat this, like, you know, these pyre of ice creams, or even the milky ice creams, because they have so much trans fats. And, like, you know, it's like, they're so aware of it, and so aware, like, you know, a spoon of it in their mouths, and they already feel like, you know, well, they're just lining their arteries and brain cells with all this trans fat, and they're killing themselves. They're so aware that that's what that's doing to them, that it actually doesn't appeal to them. They don't actually like it, because the awareness brings them around to that. You understand what I'm saying? So, like, we can, in theory, by regulating ourselves, by getting ourselves in tune with ourselves, we can actually get to a stage where we will feel, right, even physical things aren't so great for us, and we won't actually desire them as much if we realize what they do to us. You understand what I'm saying?
There are There are aspects of mitzvahs that you inherently will draw more joy from, though, than anything physical.
Like, yeah, but everything which is a mitzvah, that's what I'm trying to say, your goof is natural enjoyment. It's a default. I'm not saying by everyone. People who've really worked on themselves, so like physical things might not even, like, I doubt very much if I go walk into, you know, Rav Steinman and say, "Hey, Rabbi, you know, the rabbi's worked so hard this kiddush today, I'm going to get you a smoothie." First of all, I have to explain to him what a smoothie is. I mean, he's basically, you heard the story of Rav Steinman? Okay, it was Rav Steinman when he was a young bacha. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, this wasn't Machon Shlomo then, right? In Europe, they didn't have money. Yeshivas didn't have money. They didn't have food for the bacher to eat. So basically, if you go to a town far away from home, you basically don't have anything to eat. So if you were lucky, the yeshiva used to find you a family, and they used to stay there, and maybe lunchtime used to get something to eat. That's maximum. So Rav Steinman was lucky enough that he had a room next to an almana, obviously not in the same house, next to a widower. And this widow was a very, very nice woman. And he had a really good meal. What was his really good meal? Like, it was some sort of like porridge, an egg, a raw egg, and some sort of like milk, and all mixed up together. Sounds really yummy, doesn't it? Not really, right? So like, that was his meal, every day sort of thing, right? And till then and now, that's his meal. So like, you're talking to a person who, like, that's his meal. I mean, you ever saw how he looked? Like, you're pretty thin, right? I don't think he has a lot of high cholesterol. Right?
That's still his meal.
That's his meal. So I think I might be wrong, but I don't know too much of Rav Steinman. A friend of mine who's like sort of a Talmud of his told me this story. It could be that nowadays he's a much older man, and you know, like, he might be eating like certain things to keep his health and make sure he's got all these vitamins and stuff like that. I don't know. But basically, I mean, those stories they don't tell about me. Right? But, you know, I eat Machon Shlomo. Like, look at me over here. I'm like 3 months Jew. Right? But you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, so like a person like that, it's not that he doesn't know what physicality is. I mean, he's not aware. I mean, I'm sure he's aware of it, but it doesn't talk to him. It doesn't talk to him. Us, we're so used to, you know, like, how many meals did you eat today? 2, 3, or 4? How many snacks did you have? When was the last time you put something in your mouth? Like, half an hour ago? When's the next time you're going to put something in your mouth? Oh, about an hour later, right? Like, we don't go with anything free of our mouth being free of anything, or our stomachs, longer than an hour.
I'm saying
so you're saying that there's something like seeing your daughter would be something that would be automatic. You're talking about where a person is. A person is, like, where do we live? I have to ask you, where do we live? We don't live in our mindsets, or at least very few of us do. We don't live, you know, in our body, as far as our body needs. We actually do, because they have, not because we live there, because the place that where we live is where our heart is, our desires. The heart is the place of our desires. It's also our place of our emotions. So the place where we're living is in the desires and in our emotions. So emotions which are automatic, like the missing of a daughter, missing of a wife, right? The missing of anything, we have those emotions. Emotions are also places we live. We have needs with regards to our emotions. A person who needs warmth or care or closeness, whatever you want to call it, I don't know how to describe those emotions, right? He's living there. So those are things which are automatic. If you tell him, let's go meet a nice friend who's at the top of a hill, he's feeling that emotion now, he's there. Those, you're right, they're spiritual, but they're in the place of the spirituality, the spirit place where there's not a lot of work.
Right.
It's automatic.
That's what I'm trying to say, is yeah, that there are spiritual things that aren't so...
Yeah, but I don't think a person's going to get a big Olam Haba for loving his daughter, right? Or like, coming home and like he's missing his daughter and he wants to cuddle her. Like, you know, I'm not saying that's not a mitzvah.
You're just saying that's not the simchas mitzvah we're talking about.
Yeah, they're not, I'm talking about. I mean, there is a simcha there, and there is a tremendous joy, but there's no avoda there. Mm. The mitzvahs I'm talking about, the things where, like, we have nigudim. We have something we have to work on. That means there's something on our physical self we have to work on to get there. Those are the simcha shel mitzvah. Not that this isn't a mitzvah, and not this isn't something, maybe the level of our joy, the level of our care. You know, now your daughter is how old? 1 year old, right? You do gooey, she smiles, right? She loves you, she can't wait to daddy, she misses, and like, you feel all is good, right? Then she becomes a teenager. You do gooey, he says, what are you doing that for, pa? So it's like, this is my room, right? You know, like, I have to get myself ready for the. It's a little different then, right? Not so easy. Then you have to maybe work. Oh, do you understand what I'm saying? No, you don't love your daughter, but there's a relationship that have to be worked out there. You understand what I'm saying? So we understand this concept, Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Let's go. Al HaTorah Amru, on the Torah it says, Beyom Chatunato Zeh Sinai, the day of your marriage. Chatan means keshet, connect. That's what chatan means. The day of your connection is Har Sinai. That's the day we connect with our Creator. Torah is what connects us. Beyom Simchat Libo, the day of the joy of your heart. Elu Divrei Torah, those are the words of Torah, right? That's also. So we see the Torah is that which connects us. B'Sinai, his davek kiv'yachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu im Yisrael al-yedei matan Torah. On Har Sinai, kiv'yachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu connected with the Jewish people, right? Through the giving of the Torah. Zu chatunato, zu simchato. This is the chasen, the connecting. This is the joy. Gam ba'avodat Beis HaMikdash yesh itachdut haklal Yisrael im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Also in the Beis HaMikdash, there's the coming to one of the Jewish people with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now you understand, remember we spoke about tefillah? This is going back to this concept of tefillah. What's the Beis HaMikdash represent? It's the place we go to daven. Remember we did that? The connecting of heavens and earth, connecting of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. The nigudim is, we have those two aspects of spiritual, physical. Kodesh Baruch Hu is bringing the spiritual in, we're connecting them to the physical. You understand? It's basically the same thing, right? Lechen darshu gam al zeh, biyom chatunato, zeh ohel moed. It says, the time of our connection, this is ohel moed, biyom simchat libo, zeh beit olamim, the Beis HaMikdash. I.e., the coming, the bringing, the beginning of the bringing of our connection, and the actual full expression of that connection which comes in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? So now he's going to go further. It says, Harei Shemayim Ba'aretz. We have the heavens and the earth, right? The physical to the spiritual. Mitzvah V'Torah. The mitzvahs, right? Which are the way of expressing God's Torah. Ba'avoda Beis HaMikdash. And the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash, right? Which is again, this avoda zu tefillah, or the korbonos, which is bringing God's will into the world in a certain way. All these are different aspects of the same thing. Kol mokum sheyesh bo itachdut. There's a connection, a oneness, v'zivug. And connection, yesh sham simcha. He's bringing a proof of what he was saying. Hu pashut hu, ki kol hasmachot elu einan ba'ot mimele, don't happen in of themselves. Because these are spiritual joys. They're not physical joys. Ki eri tachtut it kashut bli das. There cannot be connection without das. Because that's what das is. Now when you get this clear, we're defining things here. Das is the ability to connect the higher world into the lower worlds. That's what das is. When I'm using my das, I'm connecting my neshama to my guf. It's getting expressed in my guf. Gilui das is called dibu, a speech. It's gilui das is a revelation of my inner spiritual self through words into the world, right? Could be das ra, in which is the aspect which is bad in me, you can express it. Das tov, which is that which is good in me, connecting to the world.
So you're talking about davening, tefillah?
It could be tavening, you could be expressing your das, it could be talking, you're expressing your das, you're learning Torah, you're expressing your das. It could be, you know, anything that's expressing, bringing the spiritual into the physical is the concept of das.
That's why we love talking so much.
Yeah, but there's a problem with that. There's the connection between talking, if you mention that, I'll tell it to you. The Gro says, Dvarim Betalim, just as a person has the losing of his essence in the lower aspect of his way. He got his bris mila, right? There's a concept of the losing of his essence, where a person's speech is also the losing of his essence. Speech is something which is it's the same bris you have on your mouth is what you have down there. You have a bris on your bris mila, you also have a bris on your mouth. So the same way there we can lose our essence, the same way here we can lose our essence. Speaking bad things, speaking non-necessary things, that can also be the loss of our essence. You with me? Okay. L'chein, ne'ema b'tochacha, chitavo tachat asher, lo avat et Hashem lokecha, b'simcha v'tov levav mirov kol. Says from all that you had, v'avat et oivecha b'ra'a b'chosekol, lackings, right? Amar Rav Nachman, b'chosekol, what it means with a lack, you serve the creature with lack, below there, right? Mimele mirov kol hu mirov das. That means when you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu fully, you're serving Him with das. When you're serving Him lacking in your serving, right? Mechosa with kisaron is without das. Ach simcha shul das, the joy of this connection, lo tavo mimele. It's not something which happens in of itself, but tzrichin itlamed ketzed lagia alei. And we have to learn now how to reach it. Now we're going to the section that I'm going to speak to you, which are the four yesodas. Okay? This is just the hakdam. This is basically his little bit explaining to you is what is simcha. Now we know what is simcha. Now let's do it. Rabbeinu Chaim Vital Mevaer B'Sharei Kedusha. Right? In Shari Kedusha, this is a little sefer. You saw it. It's a Musa sefer. He actually has like the fourth chapter speaks about how you get Ruach HaKodesh. So we don't have, it's not, when you buy the Sefer, but it's missed out the fourth chapter, so like, forget it, you could buy it. But we don't understand how to get there. But basically, this Musa Sefer is how to get to Ruach HaKodesh. So if you get through the first few chapters, you're doing good, right? Okay, so here he says that there are four Yesodas, there are four basic foundations in a person. Shem Tluyim Kol HaMidot. All the midas are dependent on them. Now I'm going to build this picture. Before we go into that, there's these four foundations, and on top of that, there's like the spiritual levush, which is your Yetzirah, and on top of that is some sort of spiritual levush, which is your Yetzirah top. That means this, which and the Neshama obviously is permeates both of those things. The purpose is that these four Yesodas gets permeated through our neshama, and the good aspect of these foundations occur for us. What are these foundations? These are the things that we'll see. These are the basic. I mean, in psychology, there's a famous psychologist. He didn't speak about these things, but he talks about, I think, five needs. There's actually
Maslow.
Maslow. I know
Maslow's,
more.
Maslow's hierarchy of needs, self-actualization.
Could be. I don't know Maslow. Yeah. I know, but from someone different. Called, or maybe he just copied it from there. It's more modern day psychologist. It's called choice theory of William Glaser. Maybe he got it from Maslow, I don't know. But it could be. I'm not a psychologist, but that's, you know, like one of the rabbis who showed me that book. Anyway, so now let's go into Rabbi Park actually showed me that book. But I don't know, we're gonna go through now these four Yesodas, right? Okay. And in them are dependent all the midas. So the first sod, yisod hu yisod ha'esh, the foundation of fire. Now when I'm speaking about these things, these are spiritual things, right? I mean, it's not only the medieval that the world is made out of these four things, right? We're talking about spiritual things, we're not talking about physical things. They have physical representations, but they represent something also spiritual. Right? Just like everything spiritual has a physical reputation. You're spiritual. You look the way you are because your neshama looks a certain way. So that makes you look a certain way. Right? You understand what I'm saying? So the formation of these four things in the physical world will actually tell us something about them. We're going to get back to them. Right? Then, mimenu baim. Now, Rav Chaim Vital speaks about the bad aspects of these four things. They also have positive aspects. So, from Yesod HaEish comes gaiva and kas, comes arrogance and kas, and anger. What is arrogance and anger associated with? How do you associate with that? Usually someone who's gaivadik, someone who's like arrogant, or who gets angry. People get angry because they want things my way, right? Sometimes people actually think that's a good song. I did it my way. It's not so great to do it your way, right? You did it God's way is much better song, right? But maybe the lyrics don't go so well, right?
Still a good song.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Song's a song. But if you want to give it a bit of a more Torahic meaning, you can just change the lyrics a little bit. We did it God's way. Doesn't sound so good, does it? Right. Just let's leave the lyrics. Or we have two BTDs here. Anyway, so now, what do you associate with fire?
Heat.
Heat, what else? Mean. I mean, when a person gets angry, it's heated up. Right. Okay, but what?
Emotion, passion?
Passion could be, but passion will come in a different place. You're right, but passion could be associated. You see what passion is. You're right. What machines are made with fire, right? All machines, all sort of machines. I mean, you know, nuclear is also fire. The sun's nuclear, right? That's also some sort of fire, right? Fire is associated with... Whenever you see fire, what do you associate it with? Come on, guys.
Energy.
What is energy associated with? If you have energy, what
outwardness,
do you do? Doing, you have an engine, it does. It makes, I mean, you have factories working on this engine, right? You're doing things. It's power. Fire represents power. You with me? Makes sense to you? You have energy, you have power, right? That's what fire represents. People who are high in power are usually high in fire. Right? I'm talking about tchunot. I'm talking about types of people here. So we're going to just give the basic things. Where at the end of this shir, we're going to try and work out what we are. Are you high in power? We'll see what you are. That's a good aspect of it. What's a good aspect of power? Power over other people, right, is usually associated with people who want to have power, control over other people, and they don't have, what they're going to do? Get angry. And if you think you should be controlling other people because you know what's best, I mean, where's that coming from? A little bit of arrogance. I know what's best. I know what you should be doing with your life, don't I? Because I know better than you, even what you know, right? So I'd be controlling, right? Now, controlling in that sense can have a bad aspect, can be also good. A parent is also can be high in power in relation to their child. Because they actually do know what's best for the child, certainly when the child is very young, right? Teenagers would argue with that one, right? Araya, my kids. That's normal. That's a normal teen. That's what happens to a teenager. Just checking it out. A teenager, right? You call a teenager. Lashon for a teenager in Judaism is, right? Beggar, right? It's a lashon of begida, lashon of like. In order for you to become independent, by nature, and also you see that with kids when they're younger, by nature, they have to like be boged, they have to be fight against and get their own independence. So that's, fire is a very important thing in terms of getting your own independence, becoming your own individual. Power is very, but power, the best form of power, it starts with power over your domain and power over others. But the highest level of power is power over self. That's the fixing. When you have control and full power over self, that's the highest level of power. That's a very, very special human being. You with me? That's a person who's in full, he has strengths. He has full strength on himself. He doesn't need to change other people, he's changing himself. You with me? Okay, so that's understanding power. The bad aspects of power are arrogance and anger, which come power over others. So we're going to see this is going to be, we're going to see that this concept is going to be with us.
That's like a really Hasidic concept, right? If you don't like something, change something about yourself instead of trying to change someone else.
No. That's a very Jewish concept. It's a very Jewish, I mean...
I've been exposed
they're
to...
Also Jewish, they're also Jewish, yeah, Hasidic, right?
Sometimes.
So it could be the, you know, could we have the... yeah, sometimes, right? Yeah, it says, Kot HaPosel B'Mumo HaPosel. Anyone who says, I don't like that about him, use it, something about himself that he doesn't like. He's, that guy's pushing something in himself, or something he had, or something that he has. Okay, anyway, let's go back now. So that's the first one. Then we have Hayesod Hasheni Ruach, wind. What would you associate with wind? How do you see wind? It's something you hold.
Soft.
Free blowing, right? Like South Philadelphia Freedom, right?
Hard to grasp.
Yeah, what is a wind?
Lighthearted?
Lighthearted? No.
Like.
What do you say with wind? Wind is very.
Temperate? Fleeting.
Cold. It's very freedom. It's a lot of freedom there in wind, no? You can't put it. If you put wind in a box, you don't have wind. Wind, by definition, has to be a free flow, right? Has to be, if you like, you don't say flow with the wind. How you say flow with the waves, right? But the waves are basically the wind creates the waves, right? I mean, yeah. So wind is something of free flow. So what do you associate with free flow? Independence. What else do you associate with wind?
Free will.
Free will. That's like an independence. What else?
Shifts a lot.
Not settled. Okay, that might be a bad aspect. Right. Let's see what the bad aspects are. Okay, so let's say the independence for the moment. Okay? What else we associate with it? Then we'd associate it with wind. What's the bad aspects? Speech. Ruach malala, Chazal tell us. How do you call speech in Lashon HaKodesh? Or the Arab, right?
Lashon.
In how do you speak the, when we say we're given Nefesh Chaya, right? So, almost translate, the man was given Nefesh Chaya. This is good for neurologists. Nefesh is the difference between a machine and an animal, or an animal and a human being. He has more das. It's in his speech. Das, we spoke about the ability to connect. Speech is your giri das, but ruach is associated with speech. So, sicha betela, just talking for the sake of talking, would be a bad aspect. Va'asura, and that which is also. Because you understand, speech is when you speak, you learn ruach. What is associated with speech? Why would you say speech is associated with wind?
You're making air move.
Yeah, I understand.
Physically.
But yeah, that's physical, right? Like, conceptually, try and get conception.
Because it's like the mashal of the lashon hara. Like once you say something, it goes
around. Okay, so like your word gets spread, right? But also like, how does a person show his individuality? By speaking. As your individuality is through your speech. Who you are is who you speak. What you speak. You understand what I'm saying? So individuality is going to come out from your speech. So we see that your individuality, your independence, right? Who you are. You don't agree with that? Okay. So your question is, how's your individuality?
So
through speech. Speech is just a form of your communication. The way you dress, the way you walk, the way you nuance, your interaction, your outer face with the world, that's your speech. I could be talking without even speaking.
But that's not necessarily individuality. It's a certain kind of individuality, but it's not necessarily
your thinking.
Individuality.
I mean, the way you'd be surprised, the way a person dresses, you can tell a lot about them. Even with that, even the way a person looks, the way a person holds himself. I mean, you have hair, right? We all have hair here, right? Our hair will tell us a lot about us, right? I can tell a lot. As soon as I see a guy, I'll know from his hairstyle, there's a lot that can be said about him. Now, we all have the same hair, but we decide or not to do anything with it. Or if we do something with it, we'll do it in a certain way. Some will be neater, some will be less neat, right? And even by nature, Kodesh Baruch Hu will give some of us curly hair, some of us straight hair. That also says something about us. Like, I have kids, I don't know, look, nothing in nature is like straight. Everything in nature is round and curled. That means natural is more curled. Something which is straight usually has some sort of order. So the normal way of a person sees something straight is something more orderly. Something which is curly is associated with less order. So like, I assume that in nature, if that's how it is in nature, that also it has an expression of a human being. A person has more curls. I'm not saying it is 100%, but it could be there's less order there. So the Rambam says as follows. Kashem Shachachom Nika B'chochmato. Just as a wise person is recognizable in his wisdom, Ubade Otav, and in his Das, i.e., the way he connects to the world, who moved down Behem Misha'am, and he is separate from them, from other people, you can see he's a Chacham, Kach Tzarech Shie Nika B'ma'asav. So he is different in his actions. B'ma'achalo, in the way he eats. B'mashkehu, in the way he drinks. B'iloto, in the way he connects. B'asiyat srochav, in the way he does his basic menial requirements. B'diburo, in his speech. U'behilucho, in his walking. Uba malbusho, in the way he dresses. Uba kilkul dvarov, in the way he says his whole being. Uba maso, uba matano, in the way he deals with his, you know, his business dealings. V'yukol hamasim elu na'im, and all these actions, na'im, pleasant, umetukanim biyote. Right? So then it's going to go through a whole list of things on which a Chacham has to do this. That means there has to be a connection between who you are innerly and who you are outerly. You're right, maybe it's not natural, maybe it's not something which will occur, but there'll be enough of it that will tell you about the inyan, the inner being of the person. Then we speak about Va'acharav Yisod Hamayim, the foundation of water. Now, what would you associate with water? What's water?
Fresh.
Fluid.
Fluid. Okay, that sounds like wind, but it's, but wind moves. It doesn't, no one can, you can't trap wind.
Water
can
be
contained. It shapes whatever vessel it is. If it's square, it's square. If it's round, it's round, right? Water's fluid, but not that, like wind. But what does water represent? What do you associate with water?
Life.
Life, okay.
Solubility.
Okay. Water's going to be a little hard. I'm going to explain. It says as follows. So what's the bad things of water? So Reb Chaim Vital says, Avat atanugim, the desires for the physical, i.e. desires for money, desires for women, kina, desire for what you have, I want, right? Kasekina, jealousy, right? Now, why is that associated with water? So now, water is associated, if you understand, is associated with the heart, with the feelings, right? With what's called just the desires for love of different things. So those are the physical desires. The positive are the emotional desires. What's the high-level emotional desires? The missing of your daughter we were speaking about before. Desires for love and belonging. That's what... Right, so that's associated with water. Water is going to be associated with those emotional things. Now, let me get this clear. Desires are always about connecting myself to something. Connecting to the physical, connecting to the emotional. Right? That's another person. It's connecting. Whenever you connect things which are disconnectable, if you notice, there always has to be some sort of fluid to connect you. Some sort of... Because in order to connect things which aren't, like, fit together, in order to fit them together, you put sort of some sort of liquid there to metashtesh, to remove the differences in order to those two things connect properly. Like, glue works, right? Because how does glue work? It's basically there's two like rough surfaces, and you put this glue on it, and it like removes the roughness, and now they perfectly connect. You with me? It's not an accident, right? Maybe I shouldn't speak this, right? Maybe not, right? It's not an accident that male female connect, and there's a liquid of connection. There's a liquidity in that connection. There has to be a tishdush. Things which are different, there has to be a tishdush, a removal of one aspect or both aspects for something to become one. If you take two opposites to connect, two opposites cannot connect. Two opposites can only connect if there's a nullification of aspects of each self. That's what mayim does. If you take something which is very rough and you put it in water, it will become smooth. Water removes rough edges. Water removes metashtesh. If you put yourself in water, right, it'll, you like, you know, tears, right? Metashtesh, it like removes the reality, it makes it blurred, it will blur the reality. That's what water does. Water has that ability of connection. But anything that will connect will always have some sort of facet of water in order to connect. Just like glue. With me? That's why it has all connecting to the physical or the emotional. So connecting the desires for the physical or the desires for the emotional. That's love and belonging or the physical, right? That's what water represents. Now, the last one is Yesod Ha'afa, right? The foundation of earth. So what do you associate with earth? Right? So, Rav Chaim tells us the bad aspect is atzvut, like depression, like, not depression, but sadness, right? Atzlut, laziness, right? V'yush, and giving up. So, why would you associate it with earth? What's that's bad, right? What do you look at earth as? You know, the good aspect of earth is, right? So earth, it's something which is earthy. Something which is gas is usually something like which has inertia. So we see the laziness, right? We see the atzvus. Why is atzvus associated with earth? Because yush, right, the inability to move, like the more connected to the earth, the more connected to the physical, right? So that's what earth represents. The good aspect of earth is something which gives life, which you grow, which you get sustenance from. It's the basic needs, right? It's survival. Right? It's a place where it's solid around us. We want the earth to be solid. If this ground wasn't solid, I'd be very nervous. If my basic needs aren't taken care of, I don't have my basic needs, like my basic physical needs. I don't know where my food's going to come from. I don't know where my ground's going to come from, right? If I take a dog, right? I don't need to do this experiment to know the outcome. I'm going to put a thought experiment. Even the RSPCA in England won't have a problem with a thought experiment about a dog, right? Maybe California would be a problem. How can you say such things, you know, even think such things and cruelty about a dog? But I was taking a dog, right? And I put it in a box. And I was going to give it food. So every day it got food at a certain time from a little hole in that box. You with me? And then the dog came to that box and it didn't get its food. And it starved for that one day. Then the next day I put the food there. And then it was coming to the box. And it gave it a little electric shock. Zzz. Then the next day I gave it its food. Then the day after. Zzz. Then the next day. You know, I did it randomly. So it wouldn't be like once and time. Now, every time the dog went for its food now, it would be very frightened getting that little shock. Eventually, what would happen to that dog? He wouldn't go for the food. He'd be sitting there in his corner, right, scared and trembling and frightened and depressed because he doesn't know how to get out of the situation. When your basic needs are uncertain, there's going to be a nervousness and uncertainty and insecurity, right? So Af is associated with those things, it's your survival needs, right? And this is, again, it's associated, and those things, if you don't have them, those basic needs, they can cause you to be atzuv, depressed, atzel, lazy, and mityayesh, and give up hope, right? So those are four basic needs. You with me? Now, here Revolbi explains, right, that, right, what's the tikkun of atzvus? What's the fixing of this atzvus? He says that's simcha, that's joy. So the midah that we have to, first thing we have to change is afa. Afa is the place where we change in order to getting joy. Now, that's our basic needs of joy. That's our basic needs. We're going to see this, that actually can be used in all of these things. If we take the higher level of them, which requires work, all of them will bring us to joy. You understand? Now, if we want to work out what's our basic needs, right? We have to work out what's the bad aspects. We've spoken about the bad aspects of all these four things. With Eish, it's, with fire, it's Gaiva and Kaas. With Ruach, it's Dvarim Batalim, speaking Sicha Batalim, Sicha Asura, something which is awesome. With Mayim, it's desire, physical desires, right? With Afa, it's laziness and depression and giving up of hope. Those are the bad things. Now, the opposites of all those things are what? What's the opposite of depression? Joy. What's, right? And laziness? Zrisus. Right? All these things have opposites. What's the opposite of desires, physical desires? Spiritual desires. What's the opposite of Ruach, Dvarim Batalim, Dvarim Shel Mitzvah, Torah, and Tefillah, right? What's the opposite of, I connecting the problem, what's the opposite of Gaiva and Kaas? Control of others, control of self. Living with Das, full Das, full control of self, right? So all these midas have the opposites. The way we change ourselves in these midas is by expressing ourselves in its complete way. Like, if we have one of these problems, we take the opposite form of expression. You with me? So all our lacks, which we can like put in these four basic like concepts, right? All of these lacks, we fix them by doing what? By expressing ourselves through the opposite way, through these lacks. If I'm a person who tends to be somewhat down, somewhat not, you know, a little bit lazy, what do I have to do? Do the opposite. I have to be the person who expresses joy, the person who expresses, how you say, alacrity it's called, like, zrizus, that's the word, alacrity, I learned that once, right? Zrizus, expression, you understand what I'm saying? All these things. If I'm a person who has a problem controlling other people, right, we're not going to get into why that is at the moment, there are reasons for these things, right? So then I'll have to work on controlling myself. And usually it's associated, like just that one I'll just throw out. When I have a problem controlling other people, it's usually because I have a problem with my self in terms of my insecurity. When I have, when a person learns to be in control of himself, he'll build up his self-concept and his self, you know, his security in himself. That's what happens, that's what you do, that's when you do that, those sort of things, okay? So those are these four aspects of self. So these things are associated with simcha, because simcha is the ability, right, to connect in a proper way. Connect against these nigudim. You have these four yesodas. You have these basic... we're talking about your basic elements of yourself. We're not talking about the hierarchy of your neshama. There's hierarchies of self, right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about your basic self that's like your, you know, your most physical spiritual self we're talking about. That's the four yesodas. We're not talking about the higher levels. There's different levels. A person could... but they're all going to be expressed there. Now, when we do those things... why we want to know, first we have to know who we are. What are our basic self? When we know who our basic self is, then we'll know the place that we have to work in which to express ourselves in the opposite way. Right? Now, we're not going to have time for this, but...